I'm so glad to see you today and so glad to worship the Lord with you and experience His presence and His Spirit in such a powerful way. And I want you to know that the resurrection power of God that we heard about and saw in these video testimonies is very real. And the Bible tells us that God is no respecter of persons. That means that His resurrection power can work in your life, in your family, in your situation, just like it did in Ralph or Robin or Chad or Brittany. Whatever your situation is, whatever it may be, perhaps it's addiction like Chad or Brittany, or it's a health crisis like Ralph or Robin. Whatever the case may be, Jesus wants His resurrection power to be real in your life today. That it's no longer a story or a Sunday school lesson, but it is a personal and powerful experience that you can know and walk in. Well, today we're launching a new sermon series called Man Up. And for the next 5 weeks, I'm going to be speaking straight to the men. And I want to encourage and challenge all of you men to be here every week for this sermon series. I'm asking you to give me and to give God the next 5 weeks of your life, because I believe and I feel into my bones, and I'm praying and asking the Lord for some tremendous things to happen in the lives of men, husbands, and fathers over the next several weeks. And I believe that deep down inside of the heart of every man, there's a hunger to be a man of God. There's a hunger and an appetite to be the man that God created and is calling you and I to be. Today I want to share with you for just a few moments about a man named Lazarus who knows something about the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. If you've got in your Bible with you, turn to the book of John chapter 11. John chapter 11, and we'll begin reading in verse number 21. If you don't have your Bible, maybe you have your iPhone or iPad or smart device or smartphone. If you don't have any of that, we've got it on the screen for you. John chapter 11, verse number 21. We'll read a few verses of scripture here. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. And when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. And when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And when Jesus saw her weeping, the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. In verse 35, the shortest verse in all of the Bible, Jesus wept. Verse 36 says, then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. And it was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. We don't know exactly what happened to Lazarus. All we know is that he got sick and died. And by the time Jesus arrived at Lazarus's home, he had already been dead for 4 days. Lazarus is like most, if not all, of us men. Just like the rest of us men, there were people depending upon Lazarus. They needed him there. They were depending upon him to be the strength and the provision, the rudder of the ship for their house. They needed Lazarus to be there. And now this family has had their world rocked in an instance because the man is missing from the home. It's really not all that different today. If you and I would look around in our families, in our communities, if we would look around the condition of our beloved nation, if we would look in our churches, if we would look in our schools with open eyes, we would see that people are grieving and are confused and are hurting because there has been a very successful attempt from our adversary, the devil, to remove men. There has been a very pointed emphasis with a target painted upon the heads of the men in this community and the men in this nation to weaken them, to remove them, to get them out of the picture physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and financially. Anything that can steal, kill, and destroy the husbands and fathers from the marriages today, from the families, the churches, the communities, and our nation. And if we were very honest, we would all say, we could all say that our life in some way, shape, or form has felt the effect of an emphasized attack on men in our family. To weaken men, to remove men, to isolate the husbands and the fathers from out of our lives. Lazarus is in this grave because someone declared his life was over. Someone declared Lazarus's life is finished. Lazarus is done. This man is finished. He's had his window of opportunity for greatness, and it's over. Lazarus, you are no more. It's done. He had potential, but he'll never achieve it. He had his chance, and now it's over. Some of you men may have walked in here feeling that way, just like Lazarus. My life is over. Some of you may have got up this morning dreading to be around a group of people in a church, dreading to put on your Easter attire because you feel like Lazarus on the inside. My life is over. You looked over your financial situation and said, my life is over. You looked over the condition of your employment or your career or your business and you said, like Lazarus, my life is over. You thought about where your marriage is at and you felt like Lazarus, my life is over. You thought about how your relationship with your children are or how it isn't, and you thought, like Lazarus, my life is over. Perhaps you came in a Lazarus spirit today. It's over. My time, I could have, but it's over. I should have, but I missed it. I almost did, but I didn't follow through with it. And people have written you off and said, you're finished. You'll never be. You should have, but you never will. You almost did, but you never will. And in the midst of everyone there declaring that Lazarus is dead, here comes Jesus, seemingly aloof to what's been happening, and he calls Lazarus friend. John 11, verse 11, Jesus says this, "Our friend Lazarus is asleep." Lazarus is already dead by that point in time. But Jesus didn't say, "Lazarus is dead." He says, "Our friend Lazarus." He's calling a dead man his friend. Everyone else is calling him dead, but Jesus is calling him friend. Everyone else is saying his life is over, but Jesus is calling him friend. They all wrote him off, but Jesus is still calling him friend. I want you to know this morning that I am so thankful that even when everyone else gives up on you, Jesus will never give up on you. That even when everybody else writes you off and says your life is over, Jesus never writes you off. Even when everybody else has said you'll never amount to anything, Jesus is in your corner calling you friend, believing in you. He has shed his blood for you, and he is the kind of God that has a reputation for calling people things that other people can't even see in them. Abraham had no children, but God called him the father of many. Moses was a murderer on the run from the law, but God didn't call him murderer. He called him deliverer of his people. David was a forgotten and overlooked son, but God didn't call him neglected. God called him king of Israel. It doesn't matter what anybody has ever called you, Jesus isn't taking a poll to find out how popular you are. He's not asking what your nickname is or what people say about you when you leave the room. He's not moved by any of that. He was and he still is the friend of sinners, and he will speak life in the midst of a dead situation when everybody else has written you off and said you never will and you never can and you should have but you didn't. He is faithful and true, and he declares your end from your beginning, and he speaks to you according to who God created and gave you the potential to be. Jesus says, "He's my friend." No, he's dead. No, he's my friend. They labeled Lazarus. Some of us know what that's like. They labeled Lazarus. He's dead and he's 4 day dead. Maybe they've labeled you too. Maybe they've labeled you and put a toe tag on you. You're dead. And here's what we call you. They've labeled you addict, liar, criminal, negligent, stupid, lazy. Good for nothing. Never amount to anything. People are very good at labeling us. People are very good at boxing us in. People are very good at putting a judgment call upon us. People are very good at that. But in the midst of all of those things that people are saying about Lazarus, about this man, Jesus was not moved by what other people said about this man. He stood in the midst of all of the mixed opinion of who Lazarus was and what the condition of his life was, and Jesus said, "He's my friend." I want you to know this morning that he is calling you friend when maybe no one has called you friend in a long time. He is calling you friend when maybe no one said anything good about you since you were a child. He is calling somebody here today what your life doesn't look like it is. He's calling you free even though you're itching for a fix right now. He's calling you whole even though it looks like your life is falling apart from from the inside out. He is calling you saved, even though you came shackled down with sin all over you. He's calling you alive, even though at this moment you are dead in sin. He is speaking to the potential of God that is on the inside of you. And He's not moved by where you've been. He's not moved by what has happened to you. He's not moved by what people have said about you. At the end of the day, friend, the only thing that matters is not what your mommy said, what your daddy said, what your boss said, what your little league coach said. The only thing that matters is what Jesus says about you. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He says to us men, just like He said to Lazarus, "You're my friend. I choose you. I accept you. I favor you. And I affirm you. And I want to be by your side today." Jesus said, "Roll away the stone." See, here's what I like about Jesus. Jesus was a man. Jesus was a man. I know that's not popular today, but we need to celebrate that. Jesus was a man. He was sensitive enough to cry at his friend's funeral, but strong enough to call him back from the dead. That's a hero right there. How many of you guys realize Steven Seagal can't do that? Not on his best day. Schwarzenegger can't do that. Jesus cried. Jesus wept. The Bible said, if you were following along in that scripture many different times, the Bible said he being moved with compassion. Jesus wept. And he shows us, listen, that there's times when things happen to you, when you get a hit in life, when you take a blow in life, when things happen to you, that there's times when it's needful to grieve. There's times when it's needful to process and to shed some tears and to experience some pain. Jesus, after he finished weeping, because there is a time to weep and a time not to weep. After Jesus finished weeping, he started raising. After Jesus finished crying, he started raising. And there's so many men here this morning that you've taken your pains, you've taken your disappointments, you've taken the hurts that's been handed down to you from your father and his father, and generational pains and hurts and abuses. We've taken all of that hurt and that pain as men, and we've just buried it. We bury it. We bury it in our careers. We bury it in all of our hobbies. We find something and we take our broken marriages and we bury them. We take our fractured relationship with our kids and we bury them. We take the disappointments of our life and we bury them. We take all of our dreams and hopes and goals that we had that we never realized, and we take them and bury them. And if I pretend that it's not there, maybe I won't have that ache on the inside. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus has a way of raising dead things back to life. He said, "I know there's something dead in there, but we're not going to ignore the fact that he's dead. We're going to roll the stone away and we're going to speak to the dead things." I want you to hear me today, sir. Anybody can bury that thing, but a man of God rolls away the stone and speaks to that thing. We all have some dead things in our life. We all have some dead issues in our life. We all have some dead relationships and some dead hopes and some dead dreams in our life. But what God is calling us to do is to not ignore it, not neglect it, not to pretend that it's not there. But God is calling all of us today to roll away the stone and speak to the dead things that's in our life. If you want to see resurrection in your marriage, sir, you got to speak to that marriage. If you want to see resurrection in your career, you got to roll away the stone and speak to your career. If you want to see your relationship with your kids resurrected, roll away the stone and speak to your children. Yes. We're very good at talking about it, yeah, but we're not very good at talking to it. It wasn't enough for Jesus to stand there at the tomb and talk about Lazarus. He had to speak directly to Lazarus. Men, I'm telling you, God's calling us. He's calling us to man up. And I know we all have some stinky stuff in our life. We got some messy situations. We got some dead stuff in our life. We wouldn't be human if we didn't. But God's saying right now, this day, this is the hour to roll that stone away and look it square in the eye and say, I know it hurts. And I know you stink. And I know you've been there since I was a boy. I know you've been there for 10 years. I know you've been there for 5 years, but I can't ignore you anymore. I need resurrection in my life. And God's put resurrection power inside of me. And I'm speaking to those dead things to begin to come alive and manifest the glory of God. Speak to the dead things that's in your life. Be a man and speak to them. God specializes in raising the dead things. There stands Jesus calling a man to come forth. 2,000 years later, he's still calling men to come forth. He called that man to come out of the tomb. 2013 in Pikeville, Kentucky, he's calling men to come out of the tombs. Even in stone cold death, Lazarus could hear the voice of Jesus. It doesn't matter what has tried to bury you, the voice of God is getting through to it. It doesn't matter how many layers of issues you have that's trying to keep you from knowing God. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. It doesn't matter how long you've been in that situation. It doesn't matter how long you've been separated from God or your family. It doesn't matter how long you've not been a man of integrity. It doesn't matter how long that you've taken the easy way out. There's no tomb so deep, so long, so far that the voice of Jesus Christ cannot get in the midst of it and speak to the man of God that's inside of you and tell you, you weren't created to live like this. You weren't created to be like this. You were created in the image of God to lead, to fight, to serve, to honor, to protect. You were created to be a man of God. You were created to be the presence and the picture of Jesus to your family, to your community. He spoke to the men to come forth. And Jesus is speaking to you today. No matter how dead in your sin you may be, His voice is speaking to you. No matter how buried in disappointment you may feel, He is speaking to you. No matter how inadequate you may feel, He is speaking to you today. No matter how covered in failure and shame your life might be right now, He is speaking to you. He's not surveying your life from top to bottom and measuring you and say, you're worthy and you're not worthy. His call is going out to all of us men in the house today and you ladies too. He's saying, I'm calling you by name. Jim, it's time to come forth. Bob, it's time to come forth. Ralph, it's time to come forth. Fred, it's time to come forth. Take your assignment. Man your post. Man up and follow Christ. Man up and lead your house. Man up and be the spiritual leader of your home. Man up and show your children how a husband loves his wife. Man up and show them what it means to speak life into the dead things. He's calling us today. Jesus said, roll away the stone. But Lazarus' friends and family thought, we can't do that. He's been like this for too long. It's been 4 days. It's been 4 days. He's been this way too long. It really didn't have that much to do about the smell. The whole point of it was in Jewish culture, they had a superstition that after for 3 days after death, the spirit hung around the body and had a chance to re-enter that body and be mysteriously resuscitated. But after the fourth day, all hope was gone for life to come back into this person. And now they're here on the fourth day and they're saying it's hopeless. If he was going to change, he would have changed by now. If he was going to come alive, he would have come alive by now. If he was going to give up that addiction, he would have given it up by now. If he was going to hold down a job, he would have done it by now. If he was going to treat his wife with respect and dignity, he would have done it by now. If he was going to be a good daddy to his kids, he would have done it by now. If he was going to give his life to Christ and serve the Lord, he would have done it by now. And they're standing there telling Jesus, "You've waited too long. This one's too far gone. You can't do anything with him because he's been this way too long." And I'm looking at some men eyeball to eyeball today that you know what it's like for some of the Marys and Marthas in your life to think and to say about you that you've been this way too long. And it seems hopeless that you'll change. It seems hopeless that you can get it together. It seems hopeless that you can rise up, that you can man up, that you can really follow God because you've been stuck in this way. You're bullheaded. You're stubborn. You're rebellious. You're going to have it your way. And you've been this way and you're 35 now. You've been this way and you're 55 now. You've been this way and you're 80 now. And if you were going to change, you would have changed a long time ago. And Jesus, I love you, but you've waited too long. This man's too far gone. I want you to understand something today. The power of God is greater than your wife's opinion. It's greater than your daddy's opinion. It's greater than your boss's opinion. He's not taking a poll on what everybody else thinks about you. He is here today and he's calling you and he's calling you by name and he's saying, "It's time. Come forth. Come forth. Come forth." Jesus is speaking to men in the grave today to come forth and answer the call. I need to tell someone that it's not too late for you to come out of the grave. It's not too late for the dead things in your life to come out of the grave. It's not too late for your marriage to come out of the grave. It's not too late for your relationship with your kids to come out of the grave. Some of you here this morning, God called you. God put a call on your life to serve the Lord and to be in ministry, and you ran from it. It's not too late for that ministry to come out of the grave. He's speaking to you today, and it's not too late. If you'd hear him, he's saying, "Lazarus, come forth." Now watch this now. The Bible says, "Lazarus, come out of the grave." The Bible says, "The dead man came out, his hands and his feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, 'Take off the grave clothes and let him go.' Lazarus is alive, but he's tied up and tangled up in some stuff. Lazarus is out of the grave, but he still has his grave clothes on. Lazarus is alive again, but he's not free." And that's where a whole lot of us guys are at this morning. You heard the voice of Jesus. You come out of the grave, but you're still wearing grave clothes. You're still tied up in some stuff. There's some stuff that's attached itself to you, and you got tangled up in some stuff, and you love God, but you're not free. You're not making much progress. You've come out of the tomb of sin. You've come out of the tomb of hell, but you're not really going anywhere because somehow there's some stuff that you don't want to be on you that has gotten on you. And you're like Paul that said, "What I don't want to do, I do. And what I do want to do, I don't do. And I could really run after God if it wasn't for these grave clothes. I could really pursue Jesus if it wasn't for these grave clothes." And you need freedom in your life. And that's where some of us are this morning. You're saved, but you're struggling. "I'm saved, Pastor Rich. I love God. But there's some stuff on me I don't want to be on me." Can I tell you, brother, you ain't alone. And that's the number one deception and lie that the enemy wants you to use on you, is to make you think that in this packed room today, you're the only one like that. If people really knew what you struggle with, they wouldn't like you. That's the whisper of the enemy. If people really knew what you deal with, they wouldn't want to be around you. If people really knew what's got a hold of your mind and what's got a hold of you, and you don't want it to be there, but it's there, and you've tried to get free of it, but you can't get free of it. If people really knew the things that you wrestle with, nobody would respect you. Nobody would deal with you. You're saved, but you got some grave clothes on. I'm looking at some men this morning. I'm looking at you here in the house of God on Easter Sunday, and you love God. You love your family. You love your kids. But there's an aroma of grave clothes that have gotten a hold of us. There's an attachment of grave clothes. We're saved, but we're struggling and we're weighed down with some stuff that we just can't seem to shake off. But here's what I love about Jesus. He didn't leave Lazarus like that. It wasn't good enough. He didn't high five the 12 apostles and say, "All right, man, let's praise God. That was awesome." And spike his Bible on the ground and say, "We just raised Lazarus from the grave. Let's all go back and open a cold Coke and have a moon pie." Jesus didn't do that. He said, "Out of the grave is not enough. He's got to be completely free. He's got to be set free of everything that's holding him down." I want to tell you this morning, sir. I got to tell you, brother. I got to tell you, friend, that just loving Jesus is not enough. God wants you free of everything. God wants you free of every addiction, every stronghold, every bondage, every perversion. He wants you to be set free. Here's the amazing thing. Jesus could have just used the same power of his word to command the grave clothes to fall off, just like he used to cause him to come alive again. But he didn't. If you're familiar with the demon-possessed man at Gadara, the Bible says he was clothed and in his right mind seated at the feet of Jesus. Jesus could have done that with Lazarus, and Lazarus just walk out of the grave with brand new clothes on. But he didn't. Here stands Lazarus, bound, wants to be free, but needs some help. Wants to be free, but he can't do it alone. Wants to be free, wants his face free so he can have vision to see. Wants his hands free so he can serve and protect. Wants his feet free so he can be mobilized to build the kingdom of God. But he can't do it alone. And Jesus said, "I'm not going to use the power of my word for this one. I'm going to use the power of my people." And he said to the other man, all the other men that were standing around there at the grave of Lazarus, he said, "Here, men, you gather around this man and you take the grave clothes off of him." Jesus recruited the strength and the community of the other people that were around Lazarus and loved Lazarus to help get Lazarus set free. The word of God raises the dead, and the people of God set the captive free. God is calling some men in the house today that will say to other men, "I love you enough to get close to you to help take your grave clothes off. I love you enough that I'm going to get connected to you. I'm going to come alongside of you. I'm going to hold your arms up, and I'm going to help take every piece and every inch and every strip of the grave clothes that the devil has put around you so that you can be free. Not because we're perfect, but because we love you and we love God." There's three kinds of men that Jesus is speaking to today. He's speaking to some men that need to answer the call of Jesus and say, "I'm coming out of the grave today. I'm coming out today. I've been dead. My walk with God, my relationship with God's been dead. My commitment to my family's been dead. My strength and my integrity has been dead, but I hear God speaking to me and I can't stay in this grave anymore. And I'm coming alive today. I'm going to be fully alive. I'm going to be a man up. I'm coming fully alive. I hear Jesus speaking my name to me." That's the first group of men he's talking to. The second group of men that Jesus is talking to is this. Some of you that you heard the voice of Jesus. You love God. You're saved. You've been baptized. You love God, but you're struggling. You got some grave clothes on you. And today Jesus wants to begin a process to set you free and remove those off of your life. You say, "Pastor Rich, I love God. And I love my wife and I love my kids and I love life. But there's some things that's got a hold of me that I don't love. There's some things that I know that have attached themselves to me that turn me into a man that I don't want to be. There's some things that are hindering me, that if I could be free of these things, I would be a better husband. If I could be free of these things, I could really be a better follower of Christ. If I could be free of these things, I could be the father. I could be the business owner. I could be the employee that I want to be. But I've got to get these grave clothes off. And God knows I've tried, but I can't do it myself. And there's a third group of men that Jesus is speaking to today. And it's the men. You're not perfect. You don't have it all together. But Jesus is speaking to you to help take the grave clothes off of other men. He's speaking to you and he's saying, you're blessed. You've got strength. You've got years. You've got health. But no longer is it good enough to spend your life pursuing hobbies and trophies and stuff. God's calling you to come alongside the Lazaruses that he's going to connect you to and help get the grave clothes pulled off of them. Men and women are needing the body of Christ to be the body of Christ. There's some of us here today that you came out of the grave and you had your grave clothes on you. You heard the voice of God and you started to follow after God. And some people couldn't handle your grave clothes, so that it was easier for them to just push you back in the grave. They couldn't handle what all you're having to deal with. They couldn't handle what's happening in your life. They said, you can't be really serving Jesus and got all that going on and just put you back in the grave. And our spouses do it to us and our employers do it to us. And we all know that the church is very good at pushing people back into the grave. People that couldn't handle your grave clothes. But I want you to know this morning that Jesus can handle whatever is trying to handle you. Jesus can handle your grave clothes. Jesus is not intimidated by it. Jesus is not going to turn his head and flinch. Jesus is not saying, you better get that taken care of before you come around me. Jesus is saying, and bring it on. I love you and I'm not going anywhere and I'm so invested in you that I'm going to help you layer by layer, lie by lie that you have believed, disappointment after disappointment, hurt and wound and offense and betrayal that has so layered itself and wrapped itself around you. Jesus and this church are committed to tell you today, we will give our last strength and breath to help take the grave close off of you if you will let God do his work in your life. We're not perfect, but we love you. And even more important than that, God loves you. Here's what I want to do right now. Since the Holy Spirit moving, if you just stay seated right where you're at, heads bowed and eyes closed.